And of course, critics of this legislation, when it was passed at the time, did say that there was a risk of that being weaponized and used against the public for anyone who had a dissenting view against government narratives, court rulings, or the state of play in New Zealand.
Because that is exactly what Pamela is alleging. She is saying that because she's gone through the family courts with her ex-husband, this all started back in Wellington. She went up to be part of the Freedom Village for 1 week on two separate occasions. In between those visits, she went home for a week. But by the time she was back from her second visit, Kelvin, her ex had already filed the paperwork and got court proceedings happening, and it was the judge who has ordered her to be taken by the police and have a forced psychiatric assessment.
Grant Edwards here from Liberty NZ, and we're back again with Auckland lawyer Liz Lambert. And Liz has a very interesting case which happened last Friday, I believe. Hi, Liz. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, mental, I think the whole name of it is Mental Health Compulsory Treatment, Compulsory Assessment and Treatment Act.
Right.
I'm not sure what the year is. In the 90s sometime, I think. this is a situation that everybody really needs to take notice of. Every freedom fighter in this country needs to take notice of it. Everybody who, depending on, you know, it could be that you were not going to take the vax, it could be that you're trying to keep your children out of the hands of the state. It could be that you don't want to, you are supporting the use of natural medicines that the state is trying to take away at the moment. You all should take notice of this right now. not only is the state following the lead of China on what they call social credit scores, but they are also following the lead of China on how they treat their political dissidents, and that is by what is called putting them in a gulag. Mm. So that name comes from, of course, the Soviet so-called re-education camps.
Yeah.
Which were basically psychological and medical interventions on the victims. So, Grant, are you going to show that?
Yes,
that little.
Let's hear that now.
First.
Candidate has been sectioned under the Mental Health Compulsory Assessment and Treatment Act 1992.
Yes, Kelvin, that was a very disturbing story that we were made aware of this afternoon. And Pamela did want us to contact her so she could tell us her story. We were on the phone with her for over an hour. She was at that point at the emergency psychiatric service. She had already been seen by Dr. Nigel Fanshawe, who deemed that she had a mental dysfunction. And then we actually were on the phone with her while she was transferred to the Waikare Psychiatric Hospital, where people who are very concerned about her will be gathering at 9 a.m. tomorrow. The address is 369 Tyree Road, Halfway Bush, Dunedin. So if you're in the area and you can go and give her some support, it's 9 a.m. tomorrow.
And of course, critics of this legislation, when it was passed at the time, did say that there was a risk of that being weaponized and used against the public for anyone who had a dissenting view against government narratives, court rulings, or the state of play in New Zealand.
Because that is exactly what Pamela is alleging. She is saying that because she's gone through the family courts with her ex-husband, this all started back in Wellington. She went up to be part of the Freedom Village for 1 week on two separate occasions. In between those visits, she went home for a week. But by the time she was back from her second visit, Kelvin, her ex had already filed the paperwork and got court proceedings happening, and it was the judge who has ordered her to be taken by the police and have a forced psychiatric assessment.
Yes, she, as organisations like Families for Justice will know, that the family court is indeed a very secretive court. It's very hard to get any sort of comeback on it. It reminds us of the Star Chambers of old, where they say you do and there is no recourse. Basically, again, as we said, weaponized legislation used against the public is something we should all be pretty worried about now, because a lot of us have views that could be now classed as extreme. And if this is anything to go by, this could just be the start of a floodgate.
And we can confirm that a local public official down there has been to see her, and she is calm, just like she was when we spoke to her.
Yep.
And he's helped go and get some of her personal possessions, because she could be in that facility for up to 5 days. So we will be bringing you updates as they come to hand. Tomorrow we will be appearing on and hosting the Alex Jones show for the fourth hour, 9 a.m. till 10 a.m, where we will be having Donna Porkety Phillips, the co-leader of the New Zealand Outdoors and Freedom Party, join us, and we'll be maybe crossing over to that gathering.
Yeah, and just before we leave tonight's breaking story, remember there is a lot of freedom movement people out there who are getting into the common law, getting into living law. Pamela is, of course, claiming, as rightfully so, she is a living woman, not subject without consent to be dictated to by statutes. So be very wary that anyone who holds those extreme views, that you are actually someone who can decide for yourself, they are, by the looks of it, coming gunning for you.
Take it. Take care out there.
Well, that's very scary, isn't it, Liz? That this Dr. Nigel Fanshawe could just deem her mentally unwell. Just like that.
Yeah, deeming is a very interesting word to use about this whole system, actually, because there's no evidence of what goes on in people's minds. Did you realise that? There is no mind reading doctors, Grant.
Mm.
There are no mind reading judges either, actually. But that's what the judges. That judge in the family court has got the hubris, basically, to say, right? So now, firstly, I'll just have a quick word about the doctor.
This is Dr. Nigel Fanshawe. Yeah,
Dr. Nigel Fanshawe. The first thing when I heard about this, I had a look. I searched him on Google. I found two things. One report in 2009, which was on Stuff, where he, it was a report from that Stuff had done an interview with a widow of a 66-year-old with Parkinson's. He'd been admitted to Timaru Hospital because apparently for assessment, whether he was assessed under the Act, it was possibly the case. he'd been got a bit aggressive, apparently. But anyway, it wasn't that bad, just a bit difficult to handle at home, I suppose.
Mm.
And the wife said, you know, this is terrible. If they'd called me and told me what was happening, I would have just said, just back off for him for a bit.
Mm.
And he'll calm down. He'll be okay. But what happened was that this Dr. Nigel Fanshawe injected him with an overdose of a drug, psychotropic drug, and get used to this word psychotropic drug, guys, because it's something that's, I believe, has possibly been injected as part of the COVID-19 injections into this poor 66-year-old. He went to sleep and never woke up. Overdosed him.
Killed
completely.
Him.
So It was investigated.
That's murder.
It's murder. This man had, it wasn't a new doctor or anything like that.
Mm.
But I'll tell you what the second thing I found out about him was in a minute. He's a very strange, excuse me, frightening and dangerous man. Sorry. So the Health and Disability Commissioner at the time, Patterson, I believe his name was, there was an investigation done, and yes, he was found guilty of overdosing and killing this man. I don't know why the man is still practicing.
Mm.
So, because 2009 is not that long ago.
Well, it seems to me like he's practicing because he's doing the government's bidding.
Yes.
He's helping silence critics of the government.
There's another, more horrific stuff. Apparently, he's not that young either.
Nigel Benchall.
He apparently came out to New Zealand, immigrated from England in 1999, I believe, and was working with another three psychiatrists who were being discussed and back in the early part of the century, in the 2000s, people were having discussions about online, just talk threads, etc. There were people discussing him and other doctors who were involved in doping, and some of them were patients themselves by the look of things, in doping people up with psychotropic drugs so they couldn't stay awake for more than a few minutes at a time for a week on end after they'd been doped. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's a practicing homosexual by the sound of it. There was an account of him getting a male patient to strip and stroking the man's chest here and saying, "Oh, I love a hairy chest." So the man is possibly doping, possibly still doping patients and doing stuff when they're asleep.
So it could be a pervert.
Is there actual proof that he did that?
You've got proof that he did
that? Well,
this
is a discussion, you see, back in the year 2000.
Okay.
But it's still available. You can still find it online.
Yeah.
I've sent it off to a few of the people that I believe, should see this. And what I'm saying to people is, especially the 2009 report where he was found guilty by the, under the, it would have been the Medical Practitioners Assurance Act, I think. That's the one they use.
Mm.
Like they've used this to take the licenses away of the two doctors. They've used it to take anybody who talks about the vax
in a negative light.
Mm. Medical professionals, they've used that act to take the Professional Conduct Committee has formulated charges and taken it before that tribunal and taken licenses away, right? So they're using the law unlawfully.
Mm.
Right, and I'm working on a case about that at the moment, so that's how I know about this stuff. But the thing is that obviously he was reported because there was a death to the tribunal. Probably should have been reported to the police.
Yeah,
and they might have done something about it. But he's still working. So what I'm saying to people is get the information about the man, especially the 2009 stuff report, okay? It says quite clearly that he was found guilty of this. and start making complaints and get him off her case for a start, right? A dangerous man, because I've got another story for you. As you know, I advocate in lots of different situations. My main thing that probably people know me for is advocating for workers in the workplace and trying to keep their jobs in the first place, and now suing the bosses who sacked people because they wouldn't take the job, the jab. However, I have advocated for people in mental health situations. And this is a story that is directly, I think, illustrates this. Back in 2020, I heard the story of a woman who was politically active on Facebook and was questioning lockdowns, was questioning about what was going on with the so-called COVID-19 thing itself, questioning unions and their role in not allowing it's supporting the lockdowns basically. Yep. Anyway, she questioned the union people a little bit too much on their own Facebook pages. And they said to her, you need to be put away. You need to get mental health for yourself. So she didn't think, I guess, you know, it was, and I believe that they then popped her off the page because they didn't like, what she was saying. Fast forward to a situation where she found herself being examined for her mental capacity. Right. Now, same as it wasn't the family court, it was through I don't know how it has to be set off. I think it has to be, because I did have a look at the act, yeah. I think it has to be a family member, right, that dobs you in, if you like, which would line up with the husband complaining to the family court about her mental capabilities, etc. And then, anyway, long story short, she found herself in a mental ward in this country. She couldn't get out. She had a whole lot of problems. She managed to get in touch with me. As you guys know, I'm a strong believer in God and that he's got this. And I thought about this idea of deeming and what sort of evidence would be needed to try and prove your innocence of being mentally ill, if you like. I believe that all of us who have done anything or have resisted this evil are being assisted by God. She's a believer. I said to her, look, next time they come and question you, because she'd had, I think it was two occasions where she got the legal chance to go before the judge, because they have to take you back to the judge every time, apparently, after that first 5 days, and I think it was another couple of weeks or something. It's in the act anyway. But she had a legal representative, but they didn't obviously know how to counter it either.
Mm.
So I said to her, look, next time they question you, because she didn't know where she was ever going to get out, next time they question you, say to them, do you believe in God? And I said, they'll say no. So I said, well, legally, they can't hold you anymore because they have what's called a bias. They're always going to think people are crazy because they won't believe in people's spiritual beliefs that in fact, everybody who stood up against what's going on has been directed by God to do so. We are all called in this battle.
Well, there's certainly a lot of Christians involved, isn't there? A lot of Christians just refuse to get vaccinated.
Absolutely. Mm. And in actual fact, that has been the only consistent exception that's been allowed.
Mm.
If you look at Yardley, right, the religious exemption was the only one that was allowed. If you look at the United States soldiers who were all, you know, got their jobs back and had to be repaid, etc., it was all religious exemptions.
Mm.
So this is our sword and our shield. No,
are you saying the Bill of Rights? The Bill of Rights
comes down to us from the Ten Commandments originally.
Yeah.
Right? Every judge that you go before now, I think, with the Bill of Rights argument needs to be asked, are they a Christian? Do they believe in God?
Mm. Put it back on them.
Right? They ask you to swear on the Bible. Do they have a bias? Mm. Do they have a bias against you because they don't believe in God?
Very good point. Yeah, excellent, Liz.
And I think that this is what this judge in the family court needs to be questioned on.
For Pamela Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Because this whole thing of the idea that judges, because this is that Bill of Rights comes along with, we're talking about the 1990 Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
It comes basically as the modern part of what we got under the English common law.
Yeah.
Now, people talk about common law, but they don't really understand that it's also affirmed in statute and makes the constitution of this country.
Yes.
If you look at it...
The 1688 or the 1990?
Yes, the 1688 that you've got... Well, let's go to the act that you find all of this in. It's a very short act.
1990.
Called the Imperial Laws Application Act.
Yeah.
The Imperial Laws Application Act, 1986, and you'll hear a lot about this, guys, about, oh, yeah, well, you know, Parliament made itself supreme and it wasn't supposed to. Yep, that's correct. But we don't have to then say, well, you know, just protest about it. We take the legal road, right? And we say, okay, so they didn't, form what they were supposed to, I guess, have done in 1986 was to actually bring all of our constitutional documents together and write up something like the Constitution of the United States, right?
Mm.
And but they didn't. And I think the reason, but they do This is on also all of these statutes. Let's have a look at the Imperial Laws Application Act, Grant. Yep. One that you will have heard me, one section you'll have heard me talk about a lot is Section 5.
Okay, application for common law of England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the application of the common law of England, right?
Yeah.
So basically we have our rights and then we interpret them under the common law. So the common law is basically a way of interpreting the statutes, right? So the common law is contract, but basically it divides into three subject matter areas, contract, tort, and criminal. So, and we also are preserved into the rules of equity. Now, the rules of equity are all about fairness, right? And fairness is what you'll see in Section 27 of the Bill of Rights Act, the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act. Okay? So that's your access to justice.
Hmm.
But all of those things in that 1990 Act actually have their genesis in Schedule 1. Now, if you go to Schedule 1, Grant...
Of the Imperial Laws
of that Application Act. So it's a very short act. It's only a few pages long.
This one here?
Yeah, I can't see it actually, but I know
it's the short
it
title. The Act may be cited as the Imperial Laws Application Act. Schedule? This Act shall come into force.
No, the schedule.
Where would that be?
Yeah.
Oh, Schedule 1. Right. Okay.
Schedule 1.
Yep.
Okay. So it goes straight to Schedule 1. Now, Schedule 1 tells us that our constitutional documents start in 1275.
It does. Magna Carta.
Okay. Yes. Magna Carta is a little later. I think Magna Carta might be 1296.
Yeah, 96. Okay. Yeah.
But this is 1275 is the Statute of Westminster, the first Statute of Westminster. And that was the first time that it's admitted that the Crown will treat everybody equally, rich or poor, et cetera, et cetera. Then there's a number of statutes which repay looking at, but they're generally to do with all those things that, you know, we talk about now. You're right. Your right to be judged by a jury. Your right not to have to be fined. Your right not to have your living taken off you. That your living has always got to be preserved to you, whatever happens. Now, bankruptcy, for example, is a very good example of that. In bankruptcy, they can take all of your property, but they've got to leave you with the means to make a living. So all your tools, they've got to leave you all your household goods, et cetera, et cetera. So they've got to leave you with whatever you can. So under those rules, right, that are in there, they couldn't attempt to take away our living like they did, right? Those rules are re-echoed in the Employment Relations Act, right?
Liz?
All of the things in there that say, you know, you can't take away people's means of making a living without good justification.
Well, you've just brought back to my mind that when Hannah Spearer and Calvin Alp were arrested, they had all of their living, all of the tools of their trade to make a living, their computers, their camera gear was all stolen, never given back. So therefore, they've broken the Constitution of New Zealand by doing that, and they could be liable for that.
This is what underlies, see, the courts have got to go by these rules.
Hmm. Obviously, you have to remind the judges of it, though, don't you? You've got a good lawyer's got to remind them.
The judges need to be reminded that they have their reason for being, I forget what the French word is, in lies in our constitutional documents that are part of the law of New Zealand.
Is it raison d'etre or something like that? Reason for being?
On the, yes. Oh, right. The reason for being there is to obey that law. Mm. And as you know, I did, talking about Calvin and Hannah, I did a Zoom, which you can find on N8WUNZ, that's all in capital letters, that is on Rumble, and it's called Our Unalienable Rights. Okay, it's called something like that.
Our unalienable rights. Right.
And it, I talk about, I don't mention them, but I was talking about them actually, about how the police had taken all of their stuff away. How to use the constitutional foundations of our country that are contained in here to fight in the courts. I mean, the most obvious thing about their fight, which is going to start off on the 20th, I think, is that the day they broadcast what was supposed to be objectionable material was actually, it wasn't until 2 days later that the censor deemed it to be objectionable material, right? So
they took it on false pretenses. They didn't have the authority to take it.
Well, yeah, because you can't, if something is lawful when you do it, you can't change the law and then say, well, you broke the law back then, but it was, But they wanted to take the materials as well.
On those pedophile cases that they've been investigating?
Well, there was so much that they talked about, and they lost everything up to the, I think he said the 22nd of August of 2022.
Yeah.
Right? All of their stuff is all on the files and phones that they and computers and stuff that they had right, but you know, God's with them too. He's made sure that they've gone on from strength to strength from that. But anyway, getting back on how we can use these things to defeat these courts, to defeat these doctors,
corrupt courts,
etc., cetera.
Courts that have been corrupted by corrupt judges.
Yeah. Corrupt judges, etc. But there are good judges and there are good authority members and good tribunal members. I would advise that people, first thing to, you know, the first aid for this woman,
is to
get the report of stuff, immediately under the Code of Health and Disability. If you go to the Health and Disability Code online, you'll be able to get the how you write and say, it's come to my attention that this person is not a fit and proper person, and I see that he's sectioned Pamela Taylor.
Which one is she?
We want you to investigate him immediately.
Which one is she?
Okay, and he should be stood down until the investigation is finished.
I'm trying to find Pamela Taylor. I can't find her.
Apparently, she stood for Dunedin City Council
last time around. I'll put Dunedin in.
But she probably said something like, you know, we shouldn't have had lockdowns or something like that. It'll
is that
be
her there?
Something political. I can't see any picture.
Oh, okay. Grant. Sorry. Is that her there? Can you see that?
Yes, that's her. That's her.
Right.
So she's a young woman with three, I suppose, young children, because they're all still going to school.
Yeah.
It seems that especially the family courts, the OT has to go before the family court and get all of their stuff gone ahead, right?
Right.
The family courts are allowing children to go into unsafe situations.
Mm. Oh, it's just shocking.
Now, it's shocking and disgusting. It's not about, people can lose all of their money, but when they lose their children and their children are put into unsafe situations, it's absolutely unforgivable.
Yeah, I could imagine absolutely that happening. I know of a case where...
The family court, and I believe, and I haven't found it yet, but there is something in those documents as well, in terms of those under Schedule 1, where there was abolition of the Star Chamber after the English Civil War. And then, of course, they got the Stuarts back and they went on their merry way again. Because William and Mary, even though... they were supposed to be, well, they were Catholic monarchs, actually. And even they were very much chained and shackled by the 1688 Bill of Rights Act, though.
Mm.
Right? So they agreed that they weren't going to have any more Catholics on the throne.
That's right. That's still to this day.
I should think. Yes. Yes, that's still there.
Hmm.
You're allowed
Although,
to
they changed
what's
it
his name
2000.
Is allowed to get married to a Catholic now though.
They changed
Charles
it.
Is allowed to was allowed to marry Camilla because of course she was Catholic.
Yes, well in 2015 they changed or 13 or 15 they changed that law so that he could marry her. And I don't know how they
that's
did
right.
that. How they did because it's supposed to be entrenched law. The Bill of Rights, never to be changed by any Act of Parliament. How do they do that?
Well, I think that in actual fact...
It's probably illegal.
I have had a look at the I did come across a sort of a table of who's got what.
Yeah.
New Zealand, I think it might be the only place that's still got everything intact. Under that schedule of the Imperial Laws Application Act, we're the last. England got rid of something.
Yes, because it seems that the English laws are more draconian than ours, and yet ours come from them.
Yeah, well, we're basically it all depends on us, the future of the Western world, actually.
Oh, really? Oh,
what they're trying to do with this hey, poor, poor rubbish
is
bring in, is get rid of English common law.
That's right.
Common law,
yeah, that's right.
And
this
put in
government
place
nonsense.
This thing they call tikanga, which is
tribal law.
Customs, tribal law.
Just an absolute nuts.
That's
just,
what they're trying to put in.
Yeah, and it's all designed by the United Nations to bring us down, destroy us, so they can bring in their world government.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they flattered the ego of indigenous people.
Yeah, they do it all over the world.
And indigenous
people
all over the world have completely fallen for it.
And they can't handle the power. It just goes to the head.
Oh. No.
Apparently, Brian Tamaki says that they make $1 billion a year, that caucus. That Maori caucus gets $1 billion a year because, I don't know why, but if you go to that video that he did, that great speech he did on Monday.
It's probably at the moment, it's blackmail. Because you know what happened on the
20th
December 2022, the Crown, in right of New Zealand, this New Zealand corporation, because it can't have been the English Crown after 1986, because the English Crown sort of stepped back. Then, of course, this corporation took over completely. And so Maori in December of 2020 took those treason documents down. And, of course, it was signed off by Helen Winkleman.
Oh,
poor
yeah.
Helen Winkleman, sorry. Helen Winkleman,
yeah.
Who's the Chief Justice of New Zealand.
Right.
And the Prime Minister's office, signed off for the Prime Minister's office, and signed off for the Governor General's office, right, by Gregory Bourne. Now, remember, we did a couple of interviews about that, probably in early 2021.
Yeah, we did.
People didn't believe it. People didn't believe it. But now it's before their eyes.
That went all over the internet. That was that went everywhere, that interview.
Well,
and people couldn't believe it. No, but that's what's happening.
Proof of the pudding.
I mean, it might not be Lady Crown, but it certainly is. The Maori caucus are certainly controlling the country.
Yeah. Well, Lady Crown is very involved with the UN through Michael Stace.
Oh,
right?
Really? So he was a plant, do you think? A UN plant?
Yeah. And it was all, this is what I mean about flattering the egos. You know, it's Maori being absolutely used. They're waking up now. Mm. Two occasions, right, at Waitangi. One was Donna Pokari Phillips.
Pokari Phillips, yep. Saying, I heard her speech. They tried to shut her down.
Yeah, tried to sing her down. Isn't it disgusting?
Mm.
And also Pomari, not Pomari, what's his name?
The returned serviceman, Palmea. The 82-year-old.
Palmea Mackay.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Did he serve in Korea?
I think he was in Vietnam.
Oh, might have been Vietnam. Yeah. He was SAS, I believe.
Yep, that's right. Oh, that's true. Mm. It's not bull.
Wow.
But this is the thing, you know. They still
good on him.
Think they yeah, it's good. It's good on him, and he was absolutely right. You remember? And did you see the interview where he said,
"That was a great interview."
It's the law of God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not man's law. And if you want to follow how we get there, we start off with the Bible. The Ten Commandments.
Yes, he
in
did
the Bible.
Too. Yeah, that was brilliant.
That's what up until the Reformation, everything was in the law. Everything that's in the Ten Commandments was in law.
Yeah.
No homosexuality.
Never been Māori again.
No adultery.
Sorry, do you want to hear his speech? His quick the little talk that he did before he gave his speech?
Oh yeah,
you got
yeah,
time
let's
for that?
That'd
all right,
great,
just a minute. I'll just tee that up. Just a moment.
Word?
Just a moment, sir. I'll take that back. All right. I'm getting to the grips with this. I'm all fingers and thumbs, Liz. Okay, so here he is. Just got to get back to him. Let's have a listen.
The war, the battle of words, has never been Māori against Pākehā. It has always been Māori and Pākehā against their rogue governments. The government is our servant, but they're not acting as servants. They're acting as rulers. So I'm going to go over there. I've got in my satchel over there the laws that I've won in court. Where? That's why I want to join with you people. So we form up Orbe. There is no law to make you pay tax. There's no law to have you register your vehicle. There's no law to have your driving license. None. There's no law. They have been putting acts together in Parliament. Parliament is not sovereign. Simple as this. When you make a taiaha, can the taiaha rule over you? No. You rule over the taiaha. Until you pick it up and give it life, it's a dead thing. Okay? We living human beings, we give it a lot. Why did we spill our blood over the overseas? Yes. To have you come back and tell us you're going to do that to us? No. Now I speak fiercely here, but when I go over there, I speak gently, okay? Because we want to make friends. The real mark of a rangatira, when he faces his people, he is the public servant. But when he turns his back on the people, and the people are behind him and he's facing the enemy, that's when he's the Rangatira Sovereign Marshal. Why? Because he's backed by all the sovereign individuals behind him.
That goes on for quite a while, Liz, so we'll leave it there, eh?
But there was a part at the end of that where he talks about, you know, it's the law of God, it's the Ten Commandments.
Okay, well, I'll go forward to that and we'll have a listen. We'll pick it
so,
up.
So,
recognize you know, that you are a son of God.
Here you go.
In you is eternity, and he has laid down laws to protect us. And when we breach those laws, we get all the trouble we got around us. So thank you again.
He did mention the Ten Commandments.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being here, I tell you.
He seems like a lovely guy. I like what I see of him.
Yeah.
And then there was Donna Pokeri Phillips as well. I'll find that one if you like, because she was good. She was getting into the politicians about the vaccines. And now where did I see her?
Yes, it was the Green Party, of course, that that was facing.
Yeah.
In the Green Party.
I use Facebook just to as a reference so I can find the stuff. Like if you go to my Facebook page, Grant Edwards, you'll see.
Oh, look, I have no problem using Facebook. We know now they were spying, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
It's a waste of time. But I use it so that I can remember
what
I put
our
things.
Case is against them, what our case is against the courts, what our case is against the bosses, what our case is against the in terms of the vax, and the medical council and all this lot, right?
I can't find her.
Because there is a case.
I can't find her, but she was good, Donna Pokeri Phillips. Yeah. And we've got to play Tom Sainsbury after this. Got to finish on Tom Sainsbury. Have you heard of the comedian Tom Sainsbury?
John Sainsbury?
Tom Sainsbury. I'll just give you a bit of a laugh for a minute. Just a moment.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't know that there was $500 million worth of cocaine floating in the Pacific Ocean. I just happened to be, fishing there in the proximity. It was a complete surprise to me that there was all that. And then, you know, all these police boats were coming out, and I was just there. I happened to be fishing there. And so I think just sometimes coincidences happen. The police commissioner said, "Oh, you again, Clark?" And I said, "What are you talking about? I'm just catching some orange roughy." And I said, "Where are your rods?" And I said, "Oh, I knew I forgot something." I do wonder what they're going to be doing with it, because, I mean, it is a waste of I just think it's a huge waste of money. Like, what a waste of money. But, you know, I guess they have to destroy it. But what do I care?
Tom Sainsbury, funny guy. Yeah. So what's your advice for Pamela Taylor, who's being held now against her will in the psychiatric ward at
I'd love to get in touch with her and say, listen, you'd better start pulling those questioners up with this response.
Ask them if they believe
in
God.
Do you believe in God?
Yeah.
Yep.
Very good.
Because in actual fact, you don't know what goes on in my mind. And you've got it throws them anyway.
You've got a bias.
It really throws them,
apparently. They'll have a bias if they don't believe in
you've
God.
You've got a bias. Right.
Yeah.
Got
and if they do believe in God, then they have to accept that God works in mysterious ways. God does miracles. God speaks to people.
Mm-hmm.
Speaks to his people.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep. The other thing, of course, is now what is our attack? And also I would say to people to help Pamela is to actually write to the and make it public and put your letter onto Facebook or whichever platform you use.
Do an open letter.
Make sure that it goes to her name is Morag McDonald. Her name's Morag McDonald. Now, She also needs, though, to be pulled up because she was the one who started the investigation on the two doctors that resulted in them losing their licenses because they had spoken to their patients. Now, that was a freedom of speech issue. Mm. It's not something that the health commissioner has got any jurisdiction whatsoever over. She needs to be dumped. But in the meantime, get your letters in, start exposing this doctor.
Mm.
He is a dangerous man, I believe.
He sounds horrendous.
From what I know of these psychotropic drugs in China, they treat their political dissidents with a drug called clozapine. It's their favourite drug of choice. Now, side effects of that are hallucinations and delusions.
Right. So if you weren't nuts, you would be after that.
Yeah. And I think that they have maybe put a little dose of it in the vax because people have...
Acting crazy.
Terrified. Mm. And, of course, when you're getting hallucinations and delusions, these aren't pleasant hallucinations and delusions. They make people terrified with it.
I think I mentioned it before.
Okay.
I see a lot of people still wearing masks, elderly people. All they do is watch television, and they're all vaxxed up, boosted up. And so if that's true, that there is something else in that in this vaccine, no wonder they're calf crazy. No wonder they're so fearful. What an awful thing to do to New Zealanders, if that's true.
Yeah. But it has to be kept up. The dosages have to be kept up, otherwise you'll come out of it.
Oh, so that's why they're going for the boosters. I don't believe it. They're asking for boosters, and yet they already know that it does not stop transmission, and yet they're telling people to get boosted. Is it the fifth booster coming up?
Well, here's a very simple thing about this too.
Mm.
These are called injectables, right? Now, if you've got a respiratory bug going around, the flu did go around, and they probably weaponized it a bit to make it more, because we know Pfizer has been involved in this gain of function carry on.
Mm.
But you get it through your mucosa, so that would be your mouth or your nose, possibly your eyes. I don't know, could be pretty difficult, I think, to get through your eyes unless someone coughs straight into you. You've also got to have people with symptoms around you, okay? So you can't get it from symptomless people because the mode of transmission is by droplets, right? But an injectable doesn't affect the mucosa at all. What an injectable does is it tries to boost your immunity, okay? But you get it, and you've got to have good immunity so that you don't get symptoms, right? So there's a lot of people didn't...
You see what's happening here, Liz?
People.
We've got some serious rain happening here right now.
Oh, yes.
It's not that windy.
We've still got rain. Same in Auckland.
The rivers are starting to... I've got rivers running through here. They're starting to come up a little bit. But, if it's a bit noisy in the background, that'll be it.
There's a possibility that this is a bit... But we've got to have faith that
we've had worse than this. 88 was Ebola, much worse than this. 98 was pretty bad as well. People were killed on their boats.
And it's normal, it's normal.
That's
but
right.
whether they've been playing around with seeding the clouds, it looks like it might be the case.
Don't know. Well, God is obviously angry with the Maoris going back to their pagan ways, Liz.
An injectable can't stop you getting it, let alone transmitting it. Okay, because it's through the mucosa. Right, and an injectable doesn't do anything. So the whole basis of the order about stopping transmission and having an injectable as your main thing is just total scientific nonsense.
Right.
People aren't talking about it much, but it just sort of, and it came to me because I checked it. Dr. What's his name? John Campbell in the UK was talking to Neil Oliver.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's in that interview when he says, and I actually stopped the interview and I went and had a look, and sure enough, no.
But yeah, they said John Campbell. He was pro-vaccine to start with, but now he's pretty against it.
Yeah, he was. Mm. He was. But, you know, I don't know when he actually sort of put, because he didn't make much of it. He didn't go back after he'd said that and say, oh, well, what were they, why were we wanting to inject people? But they were saying, I guess doctors kind of knew that it was supposed to be to boost your immune systems.
Yeah.
Right? But what it does to boost your immune system is it injects you with some of the bug. So injecting people can't stop the disease, and it can't be of any good to you. Because if they're trying to stop the disease, they're injecting people with it all of the time.
But that's, and then of that's course, the basis behind vaccines.
Weren't good enough.
Isn't it?
That's, weren't good enough.
That's the basis behind vaccines. But the thing is, there's no real evidence that vaccines have ever done any good for anybody. There's a whole heap of doctors now that are out there saying that vaccines don't work. And what COVID has done has brought all that to light and made us question the whole entire pharmaceutical industry. That it's a sham.
It's like this. If you've got a good immune system, you're not going to get stuff.
That's right. That's what Albrecht Williams said.
It's, famous doctor. It's all around us all of the time. All of the time. We know it's there.
Another.
If we've got a good lifestyle, a good biota, we're not going to catch it anyway. If we haven't.
That's
and
right.
They
I believe that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And they give that stuff, they give it to you. You get the disease off it. That's where you get to the disease. And of course, with all of these people getting that didn't have great immunity, got the jab and then started to get sicker and sicker and sicker and then spread it around all to each other. This is why we've got partly why we've got such high cases now. But anyway, quickly, and then I'll finish.
Just before you do, this is a girl here. This is Dr. Sam Bailey and her husband. She has been basically pretty much taken off YouTube. So, but what she does, she uses YouTube as a teaser to take you to Odyssey. And so Sam Bailey and her husband Mark are great doctors. Between them, they've got about 30 years medical experience. They were GPs and you know, proper doctors. But they've just put this book out by a New Zealand doctor. They've republished it. And I think his name was Albrecht Williams, I think it is, Dr. Williams. And he was talking about terrain theory, that a healthy – and this is what Beecham spoke about. Not Louis Pasteur. Apparently Louis Pasteur plagiarized Beecham's work, but Beecham and this doctor, that's him there, Albrecht Williams, he was in New Zealand. He said that if you're a healthy body, if you're healthy, you can't get any disease. And so that's the whole idea. And I believe that all this mask wearing that we've had is there to lower your immunity, to make you unhealthy, and giving you vaccines makes you unhealthy. It lowers your immunity, so that you end up getting everything. Because everyone that's in hospital with COVID, they've all been vaccinated. And I don't believe it is COVID. Yes. I think they're in there with vaccine injuries. And so that is a great website to go to. Follow Dr. Sam Bailey. Yeah. She's incredible, her and her husband. And she has some other great doctors on there, like Dr. Tom Cowan and others as well that are, you know. But this doctor here, we had him. Well, here in New Zealand, and we should have paid more attention to him, I think. Dr. Albrecht Williams, 70 years ago.
Interesting. 70 years ago. Oh, there were some good doctors around then.
Yeah, look what he says. Yeah, I'll just see if I can stop it there.
One moment.
I'll read you. Let me read you that. Can you see that mm-hmm. there? It says here, all disease comes from one of two places, either an unhealthy way of life or else it comes from unhappiness in the mind and spirit. And I never thought about that. And I think that, you know, having all this, these people in fear is another good way. Make you wear a mask, keep you in fear, you're going to get sick. And plus give them vaccinations, yes. which make them sick. So I do believe that this is a planned, orchestrated way of really bringing us down. And it's military grade mind control, and they're using drugs and mm-hmm. all the things. When you're in fear, you're much easier to convince and persuade. And so this is what they've done to us over the last 3 years.
Yeah, they panic.
Unbelievable that they got mm-hmm. away with this. And yeah. I think Jacinda knew her days were numbered. And that's why she got out. Apparently, 3 prime ministers in the world resigned the day she resigned. She's one of 3. The Japanese guy did. And so I think they know that they are on the way out, that they're going to be held accountable for this.
Yeah, well, this is going to be the legal hook, right? They knew. This is why they censored. They knew what the evidence was, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you about a case that I was, because I'm working on a freedom of speech case for a nurse, and I was looking, and so I'm looking at different councils that, you know, hear complaints against the professional bodies, against their profession, the people in their profession. So you've got like the Midwifery Council, you've got the Nurses Council, you've got the Medical Council, you've got the Psychiatrist Council, you've got the Teachers Council is the one I want to talk about. Now, do you remember the case of the Gloria Vale case?
Yeah.
That was quite high profile. There was a couple of men involved in that, in the Teachers Tribunal, because you've got, they hear them in the, say, the district court if it's a criminal matter, or they might hear them in the employment court if it's, if it's a matter of getting them out and sacking them, right? But they also do this other thing of taking licenses away, right? Not fit to practice. So the first one, I think, what was he called? That got pulled up back in 2014. There was it was probably a criminal matter, and he had some sort of fancy Christian name that they call themselves there. And he was, the parents found out that he'd sexually assaulted their 9-year-old daughter at school. Yeah. I don't know what happened to him, whether he got a small jail sentence, should have got a considerable one. But anyway, it must have been about 2017, his mate at the Glory Vale School, the principal, a man called Just Pilgrim, was called up before the Teachers Council. He had okayed him to work there by signing that he was a fit and proper person to teach. So he got caught out, and he was then called before the Teachers Council Professional Conduct Committee. Of course, they're always allowed to give a defence. He said, I tried to make it safe for the kids because I think I put them with the boys only. It wasn't the girls, so he wasn't teaching any of the girls. And also, we really needed teachers. He's a good teacher, and we really needed him. And, you know, I was worried for the community. We wouldn't have a teacher and da-da-da. So what the council said in taking his licence, teaching license away from them, they said, you misled or tried to mislead the Teachers Council when you knew that this person wasn't a fit and proper person. And you put your interests ahead of the health and safety of the children. Ring a bell?
No.
We can use this as a... Yeah, well, see, the thing is, these doctors, these politicians, these media, we have been telling them and telling them.
They have, yes, of course.
What is called guilty knowledge.
Yeah, guilty knowledge, yeah.
This is called guilty knowledge, okay? If you... Mr. Pilgrim had guilty knowledge, and he didn't come clean and say, I can't sign you on, sorry. Because he has to, before anything else, he has a duty to the health and safety of his, of the children in that school. Right? Now, what is the duty, the legal duty of anybody who had this information given to them? That this stuff was dangerous, the medical councils, they've all got guilty knowledge.
Mm.
And we're going to use that case of Teachers Council versus Just Pilgrim as our legal reasoning in all of these cases. Excellent. It's the same with the judges, right? Same with the judges.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of if a judge didn't get the full story, like let's say it was Justice Cook, right? He does seem to have, this is the thing, when the evidence was, and they had to admit in the Yardley case that yes, the cell line that they'd used to test the vaccine was taken from aborted human tissue. He then, that was the argument the people who had who were saying on religious grounds, we're not having this, right? So, of course, he ruled, it was a religious view that you could hold. The other funny thing about that case was, though, they could have argued Section 15, which is all your fundamental rights, and that needs to be argued correctly. Well, again, because under that, there's all of the... because he said, Judge Cook said in that case that, of course, he took it that they weren't arguing that. But if they had, then, of course, it was a right that cannot be overridden in any situation.
Mm.
So this is the thing, that it's the lawyers of this country, I think they've all had the jab.
I thought it was just because they were scared. They didn't want to lose their license.
When they should know, they should really know what the legal comeback is. They should know how to defend themselves if they get anybody saying, "Oh, well, you know, you could lose your, you know, you won't get the promotions, etc." They should know how to argue these cases, right?
Well, they'd probably have their license taken off them in the first instance, wouldn't they?
A lot of it has to do with facts. And, the more and more I look at this and think about it, you know, because these things happen incrementally, precept by precept, we find them, don't we?
We do. Well, thank you, Liz.
Because if God gave us the whole package all at once, we'd just be, you know.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to cope with it. Yeah. We're listening to, our guest is Auckland lawyer Liz Lambert, bringing us up to date on legal matters. Thank you very much, Liz. Look forward to... and we want to talk about Bill Turner, but we won't do it now, but let's talk about Bill Turner, who's... people could look him up and have a listen to him. He did all these videos on common law, and... And it was actually Kevin McCracken, Star of the Beast, who you know and have asked me to get in touch with. And I've spoken to Kevin a couple of times. He put me on to Bill Turner. I've had a listen to it. The only thing with Bill Turner that I can see, just briefly, is that he says a lot, but I don't see a lot of evidence. He doesn't really show me any evidence of the things he says. So, I mean, they may be true, but I need a bit more than that.
Well, have to look at that again. He has a kind of a way of using the stuff that he's picked up. is not really very useful, because he actually does talk in one of his videos about the Imperial Laws Application Act, and even points out Schedule 1, but doesn't really, because he's not a lawyer, doesn't really understand the power of it. I did a Zoom on, and it's uploaded to Rumble, because I do Zooms every, about twice a week now.
Wow.
And there you can get to them through Section 83, or you can get to them through the Number 8 Workers' Union of New Zealand Incorporated.
Yeah.
They're both Facebook pages.
Right.
Yeah, and you can watch them there. But every time now we upload them, excuse me, to Rumble. Well, a couple of weeks ago I did a Zoom call called, and it's got a lot of views on Rumble now. It's called Our Unalienable Rights, and I talk about the application of those ancient laws that underpin all of our law. I talk about them in that Zoom. So if people want to go to Rumble and get and look on that channel, which is called N8WUNZ, they'll find that that Zoom I did a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And I tell you how to use them, because it's all right knowing about them, but not knowing how to use them.
And the application, yeah. Thank you very much,
and
Liz.
And the other thing about, you know, the ancient laws, but man, are they
powerful.
To the point.
Yeah.
You know, powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Liz Lambert, thank you very much for joining us, and hope to have you back again soon.
Ah, nice to talk to you, Grant. It's still pouring down here.
It's absolutely pouring down here as well. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
The Auckland coast doesn't slip away, that's all.
No, I hope so. We've had a lot of rain. Where I am, it's very hilly, and but all the streams are well entrenched. They're used to having a lot of water going down them, and everything's working well.
Oh, okay.
And that's one good thing about hill country.
If you've got enough greenery
dries off
around
quick.
You, you're okay.
What's that?
Yeah. If you've got enough greenery around you, you're usually okay.
Yeah, we've been planting too. We've planted 100 trees. We did poplar and willow in some areas that were quite wet, and they've come up. We did those 2 years ago, and they're getting up now. They're up over my head. So
you're going to be making cricket bats in the future, eh?
Oh, is that what you make them out of? Willow, do you?
Oh, yeah,
poplar.
Willow or I don't know if they make them out of poplar, but definitely willow.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, well, you never know. I might have to make a living.